Shalom, today's daf yomi is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Yud Beis, Baba Basra 112. And the Gemara is trying to prove that a husband does indeed inherit his wife. If his wife predeceases him, the husband will inherit her. And the Gemara cites several verses in order to prove this point. One of the verses that the Gemara cites is actually a verse not from the five books of Moshe, but from the book of Joshua, where the verse states, Ve'Elazar ben Aaron meis, when Elazar, the son of Aaron, died, Vayikberu oso begivas Pinchas beno, and they buried him in the hill of Pinchas' son. So that means that the son of Elazar, Pinchas, had some land, and therefore Elazar was buried in this land. So the Gemara says, well, how did Pinchas have land? V'chi minayin l'Pinchas, shelo hayolo l'Elazar. How did Pinchas have land when his father Elazar was not given land when the entire land of Canaan was divided up amongst the tribes? Because Elazar came from the tribe of Levi, and since Elazar was a Kohen, he did not get any land. So how was Pinchas able to acquire land? So it must be, says the Gemara, Melame Chinasa Pinchas Isha Umesa V'Yarsha. Must be that Pinchas had married a woman, and the woman had died, and as a consequence of this, Pinchas inherited this woman's property. And so therefore, the idea is that we see from here that a husband can inherit his wife. The Gemara, however, challenges this. The Gemara says that's not the only way that Pinchas could have gotten this land, by the fact that he inherited his wife. Says the Gemara in the middle of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, in the middle of our daf, the Gemara says there's another possibility. Maybe what happened was Pinchas Dezavin Mizban. Maybe Pinchas bought the land, and that's how he had the land. Maybe it wasn't that he inherited from his wife. Maybe he bought it, and that's why he had this land. So the Gemara says, no, we do not assume that Elazar, the father of Pinchas, Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, who is the father of Pinchas, we do not assume that Pinchas had acquired this land. Why? The Imkain Nimtzeis Sadech Ozeres B'Yovel. Because if that would be the case, then we know that this land would have to be returned in the Jubilee year, because it is the halacha that when the Jubilee year was practiced, and this was the first time they entered in the land of Israel, so it had to have been the expectation that this Jubilee year would be practiced, any land that was purchased that was not originally assigned to you as in land of inheritance, when the land was divided up, when the Jewish people entered in Canaan, the understanding was that land would return to the original family who was given this land upon entering into Canaan. So even if Pinchas had purchased this land, he would know that this land would not be forever, that it would have to be returned. And so therefore, there is a teaching, says the Talmud, V'nimtza tzadik kavur bekever she'enu shelo. Since the land would have to be returned, if his father would be buried in there, it would be the case that a righteous person would be buried in land that never belonged to him. So therefore, since this land would have to be returned, and since we could not imagine that Elazar would bury his father, that Pinchas would bury his father Elazar in land that's really not his, because the land has to be returned, a tzaddik would never do that. A tzaddik would never be buried in land that is not his. And so therefore we assume that Pinchas must have gotten the land from his wife, that his wife inherited the land from her father, and that she married Pinchas, and then Pinchas inherited. And in this manner, the land was actually transferred to Pinchas. Now, Chasim Sofer moves off of this idea, this powerful idea that a tzaddik cannot be buried on land that is not his, a land that doesn't really belong to him. And we see from here, says the Chasim Sofer, that when a person comes to purchase land to be buried in, a person has to be very careful to actually purchase this land. It should not be given as a gift, because we don't want there to be any assumptions or any possibility that the tzaddik is being buried in a land that doesn't belong to him. So too, it's brought down in Tshuvos V'Hanagos, that if there is a ruler who was giving a certain land to the Jewish people, let's say the municipality says that the Jewish people can use this land for a burial, then that's not sufficient, because we don't want it to be a gift. We want the Jewish people to actually own the land. And so they actually have to go through a formal process of acquisition, and it's brought down in the poskim that it's not enough just to buy with money, that we have to actually use a contract and what's called a kinyan chalipin to go through all the methods to make sure that this is actually a proper purchase of the land. And furthermore, we state the idea that if the land was not purchased properly, that it's appropriate for the offspring of that family to go to the Chevra Kadisha and have them draw up a contract to make sure that the land is properly purchased. Because if the land is not properly purchased, there's the concern of the Mashkas, that there will be these destructive forces that will cling to the tzaddik while he's buried in his grave. And so too, it's recorded amongst other poskim that when a person buys the land, they should say, I'm buying this land for the grave from here until the depths of the earth. Because only if you buy such a grave is there the strong possibility, defense against the mashchas destroying the soul, God forbid, of the tzaddik. And in this context, it's recorded in the Sefer Kava Yashar that a person should ideally buy their grave when they are still alive, and they go to the grave, and after they buy the grave, what they should do is sanctify the grave. And the way you sanctify a grave is by going to that grave and davening and studying Torah and pledging charity. So in other words, a person should prepare for their place of death by going to that spot and studying Torah while they're still alive and giving charity, and in doing so you can make sure that it really is a place of purity and pure spirituality, and that is the place that you are buried.